This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Ooh, that's my dreadful impersonation of a ghost because Halloween is coming up this week. And as well as giving small children the chance to overdose on sweet treats, it also gives us our once a year chance to focus on fungi. And I don't know about you, but I find fungi irresistibly fascinating with their somehow unearthly forms, their sometimes lurid colours, and their ability to pop up just in unexpected places. And it's also timely to talk about fungi as the UK and Chile are making a proposal at the UN Convention on Biological Diversity during the COP16 meeting going on in Cali in Colombia that fungi should be placed alongside animals and plants as a separate realm for environmental protection. And they hope that this will enable fungi to be given the protection they deserve, given our increasing understanding of their critical importance. Now, I wanted to find out a bit more about fungi, what they do for us, some for us to look out for, and indeed what we can do for them. And so I caught up with Wilder Communities Officer at the Hertfordshire and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, Chloe Valerie Harmsworth. And just to let you know that whilst, yeah, we know that in theory mushrooms are just one type of fungi, we did use the terms interchangeably. Now, we started with Chloe explaining exactly what those often weird, sometimes bright-coloured things that pop up at this time of year and that we call fungi, what they actually are.
Yes, they're fascinating organisms, essentially. The fungi are organisms that, as well as mushrooms, include things such as yeast and mould. And as you say, when we see a mushroom, we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. Most of the fungus is actually underground, and it's made of microscopic thread-like structures called hyphae, and they grow into a root-like vegetative mass called mycelium. And this mycelium absorbs nutrients from the environment, including from the soil, from the water, from decaying matter and other living organisms. And so the mushroom we see above the ground is essentially the fruit of the organism. And this releases spores so that the fungus can reproduce essentially and spread further afield.
Okay, so just got that tiny, beautiful fungi above the soil and just this huge, massive sort of root-like things below the soil that most of the time we're completely unaware of. Is quite amazing to think about, really, isn't it? And they're important, aren't they? Every time I hear anything about fungi, it's saying that we've discovered some other reason why they're so important. Can you just give us some of the reasons why fungi are so important?
Well, ultimately, probably the most important reason is that they process decaying matter. And by doing so, they're releasing important nutrients back into the soil. And because they're fungi, other plants and other organisms can get nutrients that they otherwise wouldn't be able to. And these will be nutrients such as nitrogen. And lots of people do know about the connection between mycelium, you know, that structure we're talking about, and their connection with trees, also known as a wood wide web. And the trees give the fungus nutrients, including sugars, that it creates from photosynthesis, because the fungus won't be able to get this because it can't photosynthesize. And then in return, the fungus gives the nutrients such as nitrogen to the trees because the trees won't be able to access this otherwise. So, you know, this keeps the trees healthy. They've got this symbiotic relationship that keeps both organisms healthy. And as we know, healthy trees sequester carbon, which would help towards combating climate change. And the fungi have an important role in keeping these trees healthy so they can do that.
Wow. So really essential for our trees. And as you say, essential for our climate as well, which is increasingly important, isn't it? And I suppose the other thing that interests me is why, especially in a year like this, when actually it has been sort of like damp all year, why is it that we particularly see fruiting bodies of the fungi? Why do we see them just at this time of year?
As with lots of plants, they have their particular time of year that's best for them. And with fungi, the temperatures in autumn are cooler and the ground is moister. And this works for them because when they release those spores that are going to reproduce, the moist soil allows these seeds essentially to germinate so that they can reproduce and spread further. And I think wetter weather also makes things rot faster, so that helps the decaying process, which makes it presumably easier for the fungi to recycle and process the nutrients from that matter. So I think it's for reasons such as that that we tend to see more of them in autumn. They just sort of pop up, especially after a rainfall. They just seem to pop up everywhere. So, yeah.
They do seem to pop up everywhere, don't they? Things like just in the middle of your lawn. You know, you had no idea there was a fungi growing underneath there. And all of a sudden, you've got this beautiful fruiting body popping up just there, say, in the middle of your lawn. Quite amazing things. So I wondered if you could give us some that we can particularly look out for. I mean, you know, perhaps if we're going for a walk with children or, I mean, to be quite honest, perhaps if we just nice to be able to spot some things ourselves, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favourite things to do is go for a fungi foray to see what I can find because they're so magical and jewel-like and there's so many different types. It would take a long time to learn all of them, how to identify all of them. But as you say, they can pop up in your lawn. They can appear anywhere. So in your garden, in local parks, in woodlands and grasslands, any ecosystem really will have a fungi that can grow in it. Because like all plants, they specialise in different environments. In terms of examples, a couple that are really good, I'd go for, say, jelly ear fungus. It's also known as wood ear. And that's a fun one to look out for, especially with children. And you can find these growing in clusters on trees, especially elder trees, and also deadwood. And they're when they're moist, when there's been a rainfall, they're wibbly and wobbly, and they're like BFG ears, and it just looks like the trees have ears and that they're listening to you. So that's pretty cool. And another one I'd suggest to look out for, but I mean, I've only found it a few times locally, so maybe it's a bit rarer around here, but it's called witch's butter. And another name is yellow brain. I think you can kind of imagine what it looks like based on that description. It's a yellow-orange mass. And interestingly, it's parasitic. So it feeds on the fungi that feed on dead wood. And it's all gelatinous and slimy when it's moist. And so that's one reason I say it's perfectly spooky and weird for Halloween.
Yeah, so say that again. So there's a fungi that feeds on another fungi. Oh, mind blown. That's amazing, isn't it? Wow, it just shows you how complicated life is, doesn't it, when we've got things like that. Definitely one to look out for, isn't it? And if you were going out for a fungi hunt, where would you go to? Just sort of anywhere I'd have to. Is it woods, really, or is it anywhere?
It's anywhere, really. So, for example, camp find them in grasslands, like No Man's Land Common, woodlands around there as well that you can find it. So really, just try anywhere. And I think it's so nice to go to a local patch to you as well. Not only are we good at reduce sort of our journeys, which is also good for climate change, but if you can walk, it's good for your well-being as well. So if possible, just find somewhere near you, get to know your local area, your local fungi.
Yeah, indeed. And I've noticed people who are interested in fungi getting down and looking at the really tiny little, beautiful little parasol toadstools or something like that. It really is something that perhaps if you were a child and were a little bit lower down, you'd be able to spot all these amazing details. And even for the rest of us, just really homing in on the small side of nature. It can be really nice for that as well, can't it?
Definitely. And that's a form of mindfulness, isn't it? Sort of slowing down, looking at things in the micro or macro. And you sort of think about that really and your other thoughts float away. And so you're giving yourself a mental break, aren't you? You're getting out in fresh air. So it's good for you mentally and physically.
Yes, and just a little bit of that wonder that is supposed to be so good for her as well. Just the wonder that these fragile, beautiful things can exist. So one of the things, you know, we hear people going out for fungal forays and goodness knows what, and there seems to be a little bit of a trend for picking fungi. Your thoughts on that, please, Chloe?
I love the idea of foraging. I do forage myself, mostly berries. But to be honest, I don't forage for fungi because I just think they're so special and they're, you know, important part of the ecosystem. So personally, I wouldn't do it and I'd encourage people not to, especially when you see these Instagram posts with piles of fungi in baskets. That really saddens me. I'm sure people are doing it with good intent, but I think, you know, also as a wildlife trust person, I'd have to say our reserves as well. We'd rather you didn't do that, please. Because you're disturbing the local ecosystem and you're interfering with that fungus's reproductive process. And, you know, they're a food source for local wildlife, and our wildlife needs everything it can get at the moment. So that includes, you know, squirrels, mice, deer, birds, snails, slugs. So I would just say, enjoy looking at them. Take a photo maybe, but don't take them. And on top of that, there's so many mushrooms that are very tricky to identify. And there's a real risk that you could have a toxic mushroom without realizing it, and you could have a bad reaction to it. And in worst case scenario, they can be quite lethal. So it's just not worth the risk either.
No, I think that does sound really very unpleasant. And just following on from that, I just wondered whether, like plants and animals, whether actually there were any fungi that were rare and whether they were indeed threatened by humans, by picking or whatever, or by climate change?
That's a good question. I think in every sort of area across the UK, you're going to have some species that are quite rare. That's normal, or ones that haven't been discovered there yet. So if they were interfered with, obviously that'd be quite devastating. But in general, fungi are impacted by factors such as climate change and changing weather, because that alters the conditions of our environment, such as a change in temperature, moisture levels. So that will impact them, and it will impact plants that they have that symbiotic relationship with, including trees. And then, you know, they also can be threatened by us by overforaging, as we've just discussed, and trampling, and especially if we're using chemicals as well. So yeah, there's a lot of factors there where they can be threatened. So we do have to be considerate of that and do what we can to help.
Yes, and particularly as we gradually understanding how important they are. And I suppose, you know, that's the way that we're impacting fungi negatively. I wondered if there was anything that we could perhaps do in our own spaces, perhaps in our gardens or in our allotments or wherever, just to try and help fungi a little.
Definitely. I mean, when we get asked at Wildlife Trust what we can do to help our pollinators, what we can do to help our wildlife, one of the answers is the one that often comes up, that's always the case for everything. And in answer to your question, I'd also say is that allow things to be messy, allow things to be wild. Don't need a perfect, prim and proper garden. You'll be surprised about what appears. If you leave fallen leaves decay, that adds nutrients to the soil, you create a dead wood pile. And again, just don't use fungicides or other harmful chemicals, because it will go into the food system, into the food chain of that ecosystem. And, you know, affect fungi, you affect insects, that affects the birds that eat those insects, and it goes up the food chain. So yeah, I would say just especially avoid those chemicals. If I had to do one thing, avoid those chemicals.
Okay, that's a good clear message for us. Chloe, thank you so much for talking about that with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
I was talking there to Wilder Communities Officer at the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, Chloe Valerie Harmsworth. Now, I've just got one more amazing fun fungi fact to share with you, and this is from the charity Plant Life. Now, if I'm thinking of the world's biggest organism, I might think of a blue whale or perhaps a giant redwood. But of course, the biggest organism in the world is thought to be a fungus. It's in Oregon and it grows underground, a great big network of root-like mycelium, and apparently it covers an area underground equivalent to about 70 football pitches, all one fungus. Of course, we can't see it, but we just know it's there. Of course, we can see this one, though, the giant puffball. This one has a pillowy white fruiting body that's so big that they've sometimes been mistaken for sheep. Did you know they could get that big? I certainly didn't. Amazing. And if you'd like to give your fungi walks a bit more purpose, then think about helping plant life with their yearly wax cap watch. Wax caps are colourful little fungi and they're found in ancient grassland. Apparently they're as essential a part as those beautiful meadow flowers, but they are endangered. So Plant Life want your help in finding those that remain. You don't need any fungi ID skills. You don't need to be a mycologist. You just need a smartphone or access to a computer. Now, I'll put a link to the wax cap watch instructions from Plant Life into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And actually, it'd be lovely to see your pics of any fabulous fungi that you've found around Hertfordshire, wax caps or not. Do send them via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com. Or on social media. You'll find me at Environment Matters on Mix 92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. And if you're looking for a bit more half-term Halloween fun, then the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust have got a nice relaxed drop-in session on Thursday the 31st. It's between 11 and 2. It's at their wildlife garden that's next to Grebe House in Verulamium Park in St Albans. And they'll be celebrating Halloween by crafting some bats in their wildlife garden. And you can even meet Willoughby, that's their giant willow-weaved hedgehog. Now, this event is free for all, and all ages are welcome to come and have a go. There's no need to book, just turn up, but the Wildlife Trust asks that you please be aware that the event is weather-dependent. And then, of course, on Friday the 1st, you'll remember that I told you about the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust collaboration with St Albans Cathedral to show the animated children's film Migration as part of the St Albans Film Week. Now, it really does sound like a lot of fun. Everyone's invited to turn up dressed up as an animal. There's going to be quizzes to join in with before the main event. And of course, you'll be able to join the Wildlife Trust as a family if you are inspired to do so. Now, for that one, you will have to book on the events page of the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust website, or indeed on the St Albans Film Festival website as well. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.